Today's reading from the Gospel is one of the stranger readings, one of those readings that we feel tempted to avoid. It seems almost like the reversal of what we think Christianity is, or what Christ is. I read the Gospel, and before you draw your own conclusions, I'll make my own interpretation of this Gospel. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus instructed the 12 as follows. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. It is not peace I have come to bring, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be those of his own household. Anyone who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who does not take his cross and follow in my footsteps is not worthy of me. Anyone who finds his life will lose it. Anyone who loses his life for my sake will find it. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me. And those who welcome me welcome the one who sent me. Anyone who welcomes a prophet because he is a prophet will have a prophet's reward. Anyone who welcomes a holy man because he is a holy man will have a holy man's reward. Anyone gives so much as a cup of cold water to one of his little ones because he is a disciple, then I tell you solemnly, he will most certainly not lose his reward. When Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he moved on from there to teach and preach in their towns. And this is the Gospel of the Lord. So, strange reading, certainly at the beginning. Do not suppose I've come to bring peace to the earth. We think of Christ as the Prince of Peace. It's not peace I've come to bring, but a sword. Love unites, we think of Christ as the great uniter. He's come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother. What can he mean? I think part of the problem is our assumptions about emotions. We tend to divide emotions into good emotions. Love, hope, that's good. Fear, anger, despair, that's bad. And yet, emotions are part of our nature. In themselves, they are good. Whatever is part of our nature is meant to be there. It's meant to be used by us as human beings. There's a reason why we have emotions. They are part of us too. They're not things that can be removed, even theoretically. The old science fiction idea of the robot without emotions is simply meaningless because in some way we have to react to the world. We have to react to things. And for St. Thomas Aquinas, emotions are simply that. They're reactions, they're passions. We are passive to an object which affects us. Fear and anger, therefore, are in themselves good. Of course, we use them badly. As it happens, fear is a dominant emotion in the first reading today, which is all about the Pharaoh and his fear of the Israelites. His fear that says they might take arms against us, they might escape out of the country, which of course is exactly what does happen. They don't take arms against them, but they do escape from the country. They do leave. Pharaoh's fear is false fear because it's based on an imaginary object. It's based on the assumptions of what might happen. And there, if we were wise, we would not avoid fear altogether, but fear things which are real, real possibilities. Fear is about the future, so we should be only afraid of the future that we can reasonably predict. If we're wise, we know that most of the future is hidden from us. It's always surprising. It's always unexpected. What about anger then? Surely anger is the cause of wars, of violence. Surely anger divides. Point of fact, that's exactly what Christ said. I've come to divide a man against his father, a daughter against her mother. The word means to divide, to split in two, to separate. But then again, anger has a function. It really depends what you think anger is. In the Summa Theologia, his great work, Thomas Aquinas says, discussing anger, the 46th question of the first part of the second part, the Prima Secundae, in that part he says, anger is always with hope. Now I mentioned hope is one of the emotions we naturally think of as good. But here we're misunderstanding Thomas, so we don't see from the Summa that here he's discussing emotions in themselves. Even hope as an emotion can be bad. Hope as a virtue is good because it is hope in God. It's a virtue which touches God, sees God in the world, believes in God, hopes in God, is with God. The emotion of hope, though, hope in a more general sense, can actually be quite destructive. The addictive gambler, someone who suffers from compulsive hope, there's always the next turn of the car, the next spin of the wheel, will solve their life problems, will fulfill them. They live in a hope which is no real object. Good hope, though, is rational hope, based on what we think can happen. Why is hope, then, something which is always present in anger? Well, for Thomas, anger is quite simply the emotion that wishes to change things, and wishes ourselves to be the one that does the changing. That's why elsewhere Thomas, following Aristotle, suggests that the woman giving birth to a child when she forces a child out is actually showing anger. Suggestion that the rabbit being chased by a wolf runs up the hill. And it's anger that makes the rabbit go up the hill because it's forcing itself to do this, to escape. The power to change. In that sense, anger is very necessary. It's the emotion that allows us to lift up stones, which are just within the limits of our strength, to dig ditches as best we can, forcing ourselves to do things. Anger, in fact, can be creative. But here Christ is talking about anger against a person. Surely that can't be right. Anger against a person rather than against objects is surely destructive. Well, think about hope again. We only get angry when we have a hope of changing something. When we have no hope, we have despair. Despair, which simply says, it can't be done. It's not possible. We get angry because we think we can change. We're angry with people because we think we can change people. And certainly that's very dangerous. We're in dangerous waters now. You can't really change people by natural power. You can't change people by your own capacity to be a human being that persuades, that alters, perhaps bullies, perhaps cajoles, perhaps blackmails, perhaps forces people. Yeah, dangerous things here. And really doomed to failure. It doesn't work. But this is the anger of Christ. The anger based on the hope which Christ gives us. Jesus Christ himself does not have hope. He has vision. He knows what will happen. He goes beyond hope. Hope is the emotion of people who do not know what will happen. You hope in things that might happen. In point of fact, this reading does show something of Christ's vision. He tells us what will happen. Anyone who welcomes a prophet will have a prophet's reward. This is God speaking. Only God can speak of the reward for the prophet. Anyone who gives so much as a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he's a disciple will most certainly not lose his reward. This is the God speaking in Christ. This is the divinity of Christ speaking of heaven with the final fulfillment of humanity. That's way beyond hope. No, hope's what we have. And when he says that there is disputes among families, among people who by nature love one another, he's saying it's because he gives us hope. Hope that by prayer, by faith, by endurance, by love, we can change each other. The hope of a man and a woman in marriage. The hope of brothers under vows in each other. That's something that's very like anger. something to fight his anger. But just as the good emotions always function in a way that makes them hardly noticeable, that sort of anger is hardly noticeable. It's a hope, a relentless desire to change ourselves, to change each other, not by human power, but by grace, by belief, by endurance. And that's why he says we must take up our cross. The way to change the world is to take up the cross, to endure in humility. That is anger, because that's a desire, an emotion, a deep-seated power that says this can change. We can live in perfect happiness forever. We don't just wait for heaven to come. We don't just wait for the time when it becomes easy and natural, because that comes after death. In this world, we keep hoping, we keep struggling for justice, we keep struggling for truth, and we do what we can. We needn't be silent, we needn't be hidden from each other. We can speak to each other in hope, in charity, in truth. And what divides us now, one day will unite us in the power of God. It's brought in humanity and through our human life, the kingdom of God.